ladies and gentle motors, prepare your eardrums for the deep joy of Castles on the Air. Look out! Beware! Castles on the air. Let the flags go up, let the drawbridge down, let the circus roll right into town. With jugglers, lions, and a sad-faced clown, look out, beware. Castles on the square. Let the drums give rolls, let the trumpets jam, and all this calls for a slice of ham. So you switch on the radio, and here I am. Beware. Castles on the air. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, before I go any further, I know what you're all saying to yourselves. And I think it's very unkind, considering I've only just come on. Yeah. You're saying, what has he been doing since the last series? Well, I've done a lot of travelling. The kind of act I do, it pays to keep on the move. No, but it did make me realise what a great debt of gratitude we owe to transport. Where? Where would our studio audience be tonight without transport? Yeah, you're right, you're right. At home, enjoying yourselves, I know. You see, what I want to know is, how did you all get here? And what you're wanting to know is, why did you come here? No, the thing is, everybody likes to be individual with regard to transport. Well, they do in show business anyway. I mean, the producer of this show, now, he came tonight on a train. And a right mess he's made of the car park. Of course, with the price of petrol being what it is, Fanny Craddock's got the best idea. She runs her car on cooking sherry. Cooking sherry, yeah. She has the only car I've ever seen with bloodshot headlamps. Anyway, what up?
Mr. Castle over there.
Oh, Stanley, yes.
Deep sorry and enjoy to interrupt and do a barge in on your conversation with the people out there. Oh, folly. Sorry about that. But I did just hear you telling the listeners about putting cooking sherry all dribbly-dribbly in the car instead of the petrol.
Yeah, well, that's what I think it was about.
This is a deep folly. Oh, Mr. Castleloader, no. Very dangerous. On account of the sherry congeal in the floaty chamber of the carburetor and trilly-trilly down through the piper.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, blockage in the needle jet, 60 proof, and exploding the spark gun. Oh, folly.
Yeah, but you see, Stanley, what I was trying to tell you...
Look, and then, of course, there's a problem of the exhaust. Oh, sniffy poo. Oh, when you get exploded, sherry, the sniffy poo and pours the people out and pollute in the air bowl. Oh, and the pedestrian makers on the pavement all staggery, and flat and prostrate on the flat.
Yeah, but you see, Stanley, I agree with everything you said. In fact, I couldn't have put it better myself. But it was a joke. You see, it was a joke. You see.
You mean the cooking sherry was a joke?
Yeah.
And the carbury met him hold the joke.
Yes.
Oh, and the sparky plug.
Yeah, joke.
Not very funny.
Yeah. Now, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, transport. Now, in my opinion, you can't beat a boat. Especially if you're going by sea. You know, there's nothing like a trip on the sea. Better still, a luxury cruise. The peace and tranquility of it all. The warm breeze tickling your face. Far away from the pressures and worries of everyday life. There's nothing quite like it. This is the life.
Oh, it's you there. You can't put your chair there.
Pardon?
I said you can't put your chair there.
Oh, well, I was just going to read a couple of chapters.
Hang on, aren't you,
What?
You that, hang on.
What?
Sheridan! Sheridan!
Sheridan?
What do you want, Hillary? Close your eyes, Sheridan.
What?
Go on, close your eyes. Now, who do you think standing next to me?
Oh, Shelley Bussey. no, no, no. Who's your favourite? Who's your favourite off the telly?
Well, the Wombles.
No, you open your eyes, Sheridan. Open your eyes and have a look.
Oh, yeah. Oh, can you give me a bit of a clue?
Well, it's a bit difficult, really.
Go on. Give him a clue, Norman. Give him a clue, Norm.
Roy Castle.
Or could you give me another clue?
Yeah, what sort of a clue is that, Norm? It's a bit hard, isn't it? But what's this all about?
I mean, I just want to have a quiet read. Now, just leave me alone. I want to be alone.
Greta Garbo!
Look, I'm Roy Castle, right? Roy Castle.
Oh, change your name, have you? Norman. Change your name, Norm.
Yeah, it's Roy. My name's Roy.
Your secret's safe with us, Norm.
I don't think it is, Shirley Bassey, you know.
Now, look, fellas, all I want to do is have a little read before lunch. Now, whatever it is you want, just can you make it quick?
No trouble, no. The thing is, you wouldn't want to miss out on discovering the superstar, would you, Norm?
Yes.
I knew you wouldn't. Because this lad here has got to be the greatest impressionist the world's ever known.
He's right. I'm the greatest impressionist you'll ever see.
I've told him, son. This lad here is 10 times better than Mike Aspel.
I'm sure he is, yeah.
What can't speak, can't lie. No.
Look, I just wanted to read a couple of pages.
Go on, son, give it to him.
Which one shall I do?
Anyone you like, they're all good, aren't they?
James Cagney.
Great. Listen to this, Norman. This'll destroy you.
Shut that door.
Isn't that fantastic? Now, you've got to admit, Norman, that is fantastic. And without a straw hat.
James Cagney?
I've just done him.
He doesn't do that twice, you know, Norman. Give him another one, son. Do your Humphrey Bogart.
Didn't he do well?
That was Humphrey Bogart.
I knew you'd recognise him. I mean, you've got to own up, Norman.
What you've got to own up?
That's good.
You've got to warn up, Norman. I'm good.
Told him now. I've told him.
Look, I think he's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And I don't want to see him or hear of him again. Now leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Well, at least he seems interested.
And now, Castles on the Air proudly presents another exciting adventure from the secret files of the man whose exploits have reshaped the destiny of the Western world. Leonard Rumble.
Super Spy!
After his successful unmasking of Dr. No's successor, Dr. Perhaps, Leonard Rumble, alias 00141, is back in business. Refreshed by a well-earned holiday, he is called to headquarters to be told of his latest assignment from his superior, M. Yes, Miss Moneypenny?
A great big oak tree has just walked into my office, sir.
Ah, yes, that'll be Rumbold in disguise, yes. Yes, I'm glad he was discreet. Send him in, Miss Moneypenny.
Right, sir.
Ah, come in, Rumbold. Mind the step. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Let me give you a hand, Rumbold.
Oh.
There we are. Are you hurt?
I think I fractured one of my branches.
Don't worry, I'll send for a tree surgeon. The thing is, did anybody follow you?
Yeah. A two greyhounds and a whippet.
Good man, good man. Well, it's nice to see you again, Rumbold. I trust you had a good holiday.
Oh, fantastic.
And how are the Caribbean islands?
I don't know. I went to Morecambe.
But I thought you were going to Jamaica.
So did I. But I got on the wrong bus.
Now, that's not like you, Rumbo. Anyway, I've got a job that's right up your street.
Hey, I'm not working in that chip shop.
Which chip shop?
That one up our street.
Rumbold, what do you know about China?
It breaks when you drop it.
Oh, China, where the Chinese live. What do you think of when you think of the Chinese?
That chip shop up our street.
Oh, be serious, Rumbold. Now, you remember how Goldfinger cornered the world gold market?
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, a new danger is threatening our very existence. His name is Bucket Finger.
You mean?
Precisely, yes. He's out the corner of the world bucket market.
It's a fiend.
There's plastic, enamel, cast iron. He's ruthless. Rumbold, he hasn't heard about you.
I'm not a bucket.
I know that, Rumbold, but he doesn't.
You cunning devil.
Now, I've just had the First Lord of the Admiralty on the phone, and he's distraught about this bucket business.
Well, he will be, won't he? Bang goes his window cleaning round.
No, but it's a frightening thought, isn't it, Rumbold? A world without buckets.
The thought of it makes me turn pale.
You know, Rambo, that's awfully funny. I don't know how you think that.
Oh, it's a gift I've got.
What is it, Miss Moneypenny? You look as if you've seen a ghost.
Worse than that, sir. You know the fire bucket in my office.
Not to speak to.
Well, it's gone.
Gone?
Bucket Finger!
Yes, Rumbold. And on our own doorstep. He's stolen our own fire bucket from under our very noses. Do you realize now what this means?
Yes. We'll have to make the tea in the flower vase.
Has Rumbold met his match? Who is Bucket Finger? And whose bucket will be next? Listen next week to another action-packed episode in our gripping serial, Leonard Rumbold.
Super Spy!
Maybe I should have saved those leftover dreams. Funny, but here's that rainy day. Here's that rainy day they told me about. And I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where's that worn out wish that I just threw aside after it brought my lover comes a cold rainy day. Funny that rainy day is here. out wish that I just threw aside. After it brought my lover near. It's funny how love becomes a cold rainy day. That rainy day is here.
Dad.
Yes, Mother.
Are you ready, Dad? I told Aunt Doris we'd be at her place by 4 o'clock.
I'm coming, Mother.
Are you going to take your umbrella, Dad?
No, Mother.
Why not, Dad?
I lost it on that day trip to Whitby.
Well, I think you should take it.
I can't, Mother. I lost it on that day trip to Whitby.
You might not need it if you take it. But if you take it, you've got it if you need it.
I can't take it, Mother. I lost it on that day trip to Whitby.
You'd have been better not taking it. At least we'd have had it now.
We can use your umbrella, Mother.
We can't. I lost it on that day trip to Whitby.
I didn't know you took your umbrella on that day trip to Whitby, Mother.
I wouldn't have done if I'd known you'd taken yours.
Well, it's a good job you took yours, Mother, because I lost mine.
I thought you would. That's why I took mine.
But you lost yours as well, Mother.
I know. But better take two and lose them than not to take one at all.
Anyway, come on. Come on, let's get off to Doris's.
I'm not going without an umbrella.
I don't know why you're making all this fuss, Mother. She only lives in the flat above.
Castles on the Air's own repertory company, Breadline Productions, are about to murder yet another famous classic. This week, that swashbuckling adventure story,
The Three Musketeers, or Who's That Fella with Bill and Ben? My name's Amaris, you know. You've seen me on them bottles of aftershave. I'm one of the famous musketeers. Now, the boss is D'Artagnan. Like, he's the chief, you know, the blocker man. You know, the gaffer. You've seen him. He wears a feather in his hat and he's got his wellies turned on. Then there's this bird, Constance. You know, she's like D'Artagnan's chat, you know. He's Judy. And this bird is now fat. I mean, if she appeared on Come Dancing, she'd be a formation team. Anyway, the time is 16:31, which is just after that past four. Louis. On the throne.
Oh,
Louis the 15th is on the dole, and Louis the 16th is on about 40 quid a week plus overtime. But our story starts in a dingy tavern in the back streets of Paris. Pint of mixed, half a lager and a gin and tonic, love.
Aramis, Aramis.
What is it, D'Artagnan?
I've just received an urgent order.
Does Colonel Richelieu want another meeting?
No, no, Lady Constance wants another bag of crisps.
I don't know where she puts them. I'm not kidding you, D'Artagnan. She's beginning to look like a bag of crisps.
Have a care, Aramis. I'm talking about the woman I love. She may be fat, she may be ugly, she may be a loud-mouthed, ignorant old rat bag, but she does have one outstanding quality.
What's that?
She saves me buying a guard dog.
Where's she sitting, then?
On those three chairs over there.
Will you hurry up with them crisps? I'm famished.
Coming, my love.
Here. Get them down, yeah. Good grief. She didn't even open the bag. Straight down the hatch, dear.
Ah, Aramis. You're probably wondering why I sent for you this evening.
Yeah. Help you carry her home.
No. No, Aramis, we're expecting an addition to our little family.
Oh, it's got to be an elephant.
No. I mean you and I. I'm engaging the services of a third musketeer. I put an advert in the Boulogne Bugle. Musketeer required. Good swordsman must be able to lift heavy weights. And the chappie who replied is coming here tonight for an audience.
Give him this lot. Excuse me. I'm looking for this Fred D'Artagnan.
I'm D'Artagnan.
I'm Amaris.
And I'm... By George.
Oh, she's a big lass.
Come along, chappie. Identify yourself.
I'm Pesos.
That's Higgins.
I've come about the job.
Ah, yes. We're the famous musketeers. Surely you've heard our motto.
Oh, yeah. All for one and one for the pot.
Yes, now tell me, what do you know about fencing?
I always clear sort, man.
Now, about your references now, can you give me the names of two referees?
Arthur Ellis and Eddie Waring.
Well, I think I'm going to have to put you two to the test. Aramis, Pathos, take your swords and let us see what you can do.
Well, I've got double 20. Your turn, Pathos.
No, I want to see you fight. Fight. En garde. Go. What's happened?
I've stuck me sword to me foot.
Why did you do that?
I thought it was his.
I must say, Aramis, I was very impressed with your expertise.
I can't move.
It's my new sword, you know.
I'm in agony.
The handle's a foot long.
And I'm a foot short.
Oh, shut up, you. You're always moaning.
Hey, D'Artagnan, that fellow who sells cockles has come just by us a jar of cockles.
Will somebody get this sword out of me foot?
I'm off down the Roxy. The prisoner's end is on all this week, though.
Oh, good idea, Aramis. Yes. Are you coming, Constance?
Yeah, you can buy me one of them raspberry surprises.
Will somebody get this sword out of my foot? Get this sword out of my foot. Out of my foot. Out of my foot.
Oh,
river, that old man river. He must know something, he don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he just keeps rolling along. He don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton, but them that plant some is soon forgotten. But old man river, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, bodies all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, get a little drunk and you land in jail. I get weary and sick of trying, I'm tired of living and I'm feared of dying. But old man river, he just keeps rolling along. We sweat and strain, bodies all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, you get a little drunk and you land in jail. I get weary and sick of trying, I'm tired of living but I'm feared of dying. But old man river, he just keeps rolling.
For the last 30 minutes, all tickery-tockery, you have been listening to Castles on the Air. Starring Roy Castle, that great and versatile tappery dance and trumpet blow, yes, even with a sawn-off shot gold. With Mike Burton, Eli Woods, Jacqueline Clark and Stanley Unwin, and the Northern Radio Orchestra with its many instrument puff, blow and scrape it. Conducted by Neil Richardson with a baton all waving up a low dowder. Castles on the Air is scribbly script loaded by Mike Craig, Laurie Kinsley and Ron McDonald. And productive most by James Casey.